Samuel 13 and verse 1. I'm going to read a couple of verses and we will check it out. And just by way of, in an announcements on a good note, Pastor Phil's Revived Soul ranked number one. Amen. And all the podcasts, inspirational podcasts, ranked number one. So y'all keep on downloading, keep on listening, and getting that true music, the music that's edifying. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So listen, let's begin. We'll look at 13:1, and I may just read 1 and 2, because we ain't getting further than that tonight. Let's look at it. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Let's keep reading a little bit. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was very subtle. He was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. I'm going to just keep going. Y'all just keep reading your Bible. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. In verse 9, she took a pan and poured them out before him, but refused to eat. And Amnon, he said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. Father, we pray you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. Bless us now, O Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Saints of God, this is a chapter of scripture that a lot of pastors skip. Amen. Because of what goes on is so diabolically wicked and evil, what goes on in this chapter. But we're not going to skip it because they got a lot of stuff to learn in this chapter. Amen. And so we'll go through it. Hallelujah. And talk about it. Listen. I can't do a long recap because we got a lot to cover. And so we're going to jump immediately into verse 1. The title of this message is Amnon Loved Her. Amnon Loved Her. That's the title of the message. And it's going to be a seamless sermon, meaning that we'll just start and kind of break it down line by line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And so let's begin with verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after this, and this is where we're going to kind of do just a small recap, but not a lot. The Bible says, after this. After what? Huh? After David committed adultery with Bathsheba. After God judged him and took his child. After God showed mercy and gave him Solomon. After God showed mercy and gave David victory over the Ammonites and put the crown upon his head. But after David, even though God had showed him mercy, was merciless to the Ammonites, put them under cruel slavery, the whole nation for doing something to him that he had did to his God. And there's something else when we don't show people mercy when our God has shown us so much mercy. You with me so far? And I don't think it's coincidence that right after verse 31, the cruelty, chapter 13, 1 says after this, after the cruelty. You see, what we need to understand is that the judgment of God, amen, was broken down into two parts with David. The first part was, I'm going to smite the child. And then there was like an intermission in judgment. And mercy broke in. And I believe God, at that intermission, anything could have happened, y'all. I believe that judgment could have stopped. Because listen, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But at the intermission of mercy, David receives mercy, but he doesn't give it back. And the Bible says, and after this. And you see, God had told David that more judgment was coming. In 2 Samuel 12, around 10 through 12, he told David, he said, listen, because you did this to Uriah, the sword shall never depart from thine house. That's the second half of judgment. Because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite. In verse 11, look what he tells him, the second half of judgment. He says, behold, he says, I'm going to raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Now, none of this had happened yet. None of this had happened yet. You see? He said, man, listen, I'm going to take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. So judgment was coming. And David didn't show mercy. And so now we see the judgment go ahead and come all the way through. From this point on in chapter 13, judgment is going to roll down a mountain like a snowball, like an avalanche. And there's nothing David's going to be able to do about it. God is going to put David in such a bad spot to where he can't go left or right, y'all. He just got to watch it flow down. And that's an admonition to us, amen, don't put yourself in the hands of the angry God, because you can't fight against him. When he start, who gonna stop him? You hear me, Cole? You know what I'm saying. So just don't get yourself in that situation at all. And so the Bible says in 13:1, it says, hallelujah, and it came to pass after this, here it is, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. Now, let's look at it and break it all down. The Bible says that Absalom was David's third son. Somebody say third son. Yeah. He was the third son. According to 1 Chronicles 3, 1, amen, it talks about the sons of David. If you go to Chronicles, amen, you'll see it written all down there. And in verse 1 talks about David's firstborn, amen, being Amnon, his secondborn being Daniel. And by the time we get to Chronicles chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says that the third son of David was Absalom. Now, Absalom was the son of David and a woman by the name of Maacah. You see? Maacah was a princess. She was the daughter of a king by the name of Talmai. You see it there in Chronicles. Amen. Hallelujah. Daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Saints of God, Geshur was a little kingdom, located as though it were inside Israel. When God gave them the promised land, it was little pockets that they could never conquer and defeat, kind of like the Jebusites were in Jerusalem, where they finally got over the Jebusites, but they couldn't defeat the Geshurites. And I got a little map for you to show you where Geshur is. I got two maps, amen. That's map number one. You can see the little arrow. And on map number two, you can see the same thing, hallelujah, on the top of the map, that little section that's not colored red. That was the Geshurites, located almost inside of Israel. The Geshurites saw that David was gaining strength and power. So look what they did. The king said, listen, They're too close for us to remain our enemies. I'm going to give David a token of peace. I'm going to give him my daughter to marry. It was a political marriage, a fixed marriage, to have peace between two kingdoms that was close together, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Geshur. You see? Now, David was not supposed to marry the princess of Geshur. Anybody know why? He wasn't supposed to marry her because the Bible teaches that you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7:3 in the NLT. Amen. We got it for you in NLT. It says you must not intermarry with them. That's what God told his people. You must not intermarry with them, the Bible says. And look, y'all, this wasn't about race, no. It wasn't about color or ethnicity. It was about faith. It wasn't about race. It was about faith. You understand what I'm saying? Because God allowed different people to come in, like Ruth and Rahab. Hallelujah. But these people say, my people are, your people are my people. Your God going to be my God. Where I go, you going to go. There was a conversion that had taken place. We hear no such thing in this case. You see? And God said, don't be unequally yoked. So David married her, even though she was from a different country, even though she worshiped different gods. You see? Now listen, the commentators say that this woman, Makkah, that she was very beautiful. You see? And that could have been the reason David kind of married her. He had the law in front of him. He said, I'm not going to marry. He said, well, maybe this time. So he married her. You see? Now, wait up. I feel something in the spirit. Let me just stop right there. Christian, you ain't supposed to marry an unbeliever, no. If you do, you're unequally yoked. And you're going to have a world of problems. You're going to have a world of problems. You want to make sure that they save before y'all come to this altar. The key to not marrying an unbeliever is not to date an unbeliever. Not to fall in love with an unbeliever. Not to even give them your number and start communicating with an unbeliever. That's not, you know, but Pastor, I'm witnessing. You don't witness at the movies. You don't witness at Don's. If you want to witness, call for one of the brothers. The brother's going to witness to the brother for you. You see, I'm witnessing. You ain't witnessing. All right? Okay, let's keep moving. But Makkah was beautiful, y'all. She was beautiful. Now, the Bible teaches us that David was a looker, too. David had looked pretty decent himself. That's what the Bible teaches, that he was handsome. So you take him being a handsome man, and you take Makkah being a beautiful woman, and what you think them children going to look like? All right? We know David was Hebrew. Makkah was from a different nation. Now, some of y'all might not know, but you take Hebrew blood and mix it with anything, and it's going to look good. You understand what I'm saying? That's why some of y'all look good. Now we got so much mixture in us. And them black people with different hair and colored eye, you know what that, you know. That's a mixture. That's the kind of stuff they had going on with David and Makkah. And the children that came out of this union. Man, listen, man, we talking about Absalom. Absalom? Absalom. You know? The Bible talk about Absalom in 2 Samuel 14:25. It says, but in all of Israel. Come on, soundboard, work with me. Come on. Either somebody not paying attention or the computer stuff. 2 Samuel 14:25. Oh, God. All right, I'm just going to read it for y'all. The Bible says, but in all Israel, 14:25, but in all Israel, there There was none to be so much praised as Absalom. You see? None to be so much praised as Absalom. For what? For his beauty. Look what the Bible says. Now, you know when the Bible talks about how you look. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. That little mixed baby was, look, listen. Boy, it was fine, man. Now, they got mixed celebrities that you would never know. Like the Rock is mixed Hebrew and all kind of other stuff. All right, take that off of that so everybody can pay attention. Everybody pay attention. Ladies. That boy half Hebrew, man. Listen to me. Man, listen, in this same verse, and we don't have to go to, the Bible talks about his hair. About his hair. That his hair was different than all the rest of the Hebrews. You know, they talk about how long it was and how it grew and stuff like that. You know, he had that Anthony Reynolds hair. You know what I'm saying? That heavy Deion Henderson. That hair gonna get him in trouble. Y'all better watch that hair because he gets stuck in a tree with that hair. All right. But if you thought Absalom was something. He had a younger sister by the name of Tamar, the same mixture of David and Maka. You know, the same mixture of that Hebrew blood and something else. And the Bible talks about her. The Bible says Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. You know, and while she and the sinners, they don't even talk about how he fair, they talk about how she was fair. She was gorgeous, you see? And the thing about Tamar was that she was not just pretty on the outside. She was beautiful on the inside, where it counted, all right? And that's what made her outdo Absalom, because somebody could look good on the outside, y'all, but if they ain't got what it take on the inside, then listen, that's just, whoo, that's like a diamond ring in a pig's snout. That ain't nothing good. You with me so far? You know, and everybody, ooh, she looked good, but when she opened her mouth, look, we good, we cool. All right? But Tamar wasn't like that. This chick had character, man, integrity. She was a hard worker. She was a servant, and we're going to see all of this throughout the text. She obeyed her parents, obeyed David, even to her detriment. You with me so far? She was a woman of God that feared the Lord. She was a virgin. She practiced abstinence. How we raising our children, our daughters. No, you ain't going to be with no man until you put the ring on the finger. Amen. Woo! None of that. She feared the Lord, man. She always kept herself nice. The Bible talked about her royal robes that she wore. Amen. And it was like Joseph's robe or Joseph's coat. The royal robe was a coat of many colors. And by the word robe, amen, we not only can see that she dressed nice, she kept herself up in an excellence, and that's important, amen, because that speaks volumes. But not only that, the robe also speaks to modesty, amen. They never say a mini. They didn't say a halter. They didn't say too low, and they sure didn't say too tight. They didn't say none of that. They didn't say none of that. They say a robe. Look, I'm talking about integrity, hard work, beautiful. You hear what I'm talking about, Frank? You know what I'm saying? Obedient to parents. You know? Hardworking, modest. Look. Got the shape, got the look, but don't flaunt it, baby. Not trying to cause nobody to stumble. Anybody hear me up in here? This is Tamar. And listen, the commentators tell us that Tamar is the best that David got. The best that he has. Out of all of his children, amen, from all that. Listen, she's the best that he has. And we love all our children, yeah. We love all our children. We do. We love them all, you know. But sometimes you get a child that's kind of special. You get a child that got a little something extra. And you saying, devil, you can't have that child. That child is going to do some great things for the Most High. Amen? Some of y'all saying, all my children like that. That's what I think, too. But I'm just saying. That's Tamar for David. You know, he thinking she gonna be the wife of a king. You know, she got favor on him. Now listen to me good. I'm gonna stop right there for a second. Because a lot of y'all children got favor. All right? All right? And the children that's coming, let me help y'all out here for a second. See, when your children got favor on them, you got to operate with them differently than everybody else. All right? Because favor attracts things. Favor attracts good, but favor is also attracting for bad. Anybody with me? Woo! We're about to see it right here. That favor was all over the kingdom and everybody can see it, but people that you don't want near your children are going to see it too. Woo! I'm here to prophesy. Your children got favor, but you better watch them. You better watch where they go and what they do. And listen, next message, we're going to get knee deep into this stuff about watching our kids and keeping our kids in this sexually immoral and perverse generation in which we live in. The age of sleepovers are over. You with me so far? Dropping your kids all over the place here and there. You don't even check the house. You just drop them at the corner. All right, all right. That's for next Tuesday. Let me shake it off. All right. But she had favor, y'all. She was going places, man. You know? And the Bible says in 13:1, listen, we still in 1, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. He loved her. Yeah, somebody caught it already. He said, well, I thought she was the daughter of David. And they just say he was the son of David. And he did what? He loved her. Oh, we're going to get into some stuff on this, in this, these verses. You see? Amnon was David's oldest son. He was the firstborn. The one that everybody just presupposed that he would be the king because of his birthright, even though the law of primogeniture was not even in effect at that time. The kings would pick who they wanted to pick, and it wasn't just for the firstborn. But some people say that he acted like he would be king because he showed no restraint. He had privilege all wrapped up in him, like he could do what he wanted just because he was the firstborn. You see, that's Amnon. You see? In 1 Chronicles 3:1, it talks about Amnon and who his mom is. The Bible says that he was the firstborn of Ahinoam. You see? Ahinoam. Somebody say, I had a ham? No, Ahinoam. The Jezreelites. Now, she wasn't from a foreign land. Jezreelites is an Israelite from the place, from the city of Jezreel. And David married Ahinoam after Saul gave Michal, his first wife, to another man. Y'all remember that? I bet David was hot. And so Saul gave Michal to make David mad to Palti. And so he don't have a wife. And so he picks up and he marries Ahinoam. But the problem is that after David married Ahinoam, he kept marrying people. He didn't stop marrying. And I don't know if he wanted to get back at Saul or what, but he just said, you took my first wife, I'm going to give me a second, I'm going to give me a third, I'm going to give me... Boy, I had a problem. You see? Now, Ahinoam... And David got married right around the same time as that he married Abigail. Anybody remember Abigail? Abigail, the wise woman who was originally the wife of Nabal. All right? And they got married around the same time, you know. Saints, David ended up with about 8 or 9 wives before it was all over with. 8 or 9 wives. You see? And when before it was all over, he had about 19 children. You know? Now, this was wrong because the Bible teaches us that that a man should have one wife. And let me tell you, that's all a man can handle? Yeah, for real. One wife. Let's just break it down, all right? Deuteronomy 17, 17 was specific about kings. And God, even before they got a king, this was just in the days of Moses. This was years before a monarchy ever came into being. In Deuteronomy 17, 17, God says, neither shall he, the king, multiply wives to himself. You get you one wife. You get you one wife. And Jesus corroborates this. Jesus said, listen, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not his wives. You see, polygamy is wrong. And so we see, amen, I hear the women saying amen. I don't hear none of the men saying amen. All I hear is the women say amen. Men, where you at, amen? Yeah, that wife said, you better say amen. Woo! So David, listen, not only did David marry outside of Israel, unequally yoked, but look at here. He marries more than one wife. Polygamy. Now, we're going to see here in a second that because of the polygamy and the multiplication of wives, David has what we call today a tremendously dysfunctional family. And we're about to see all kind of stuff come out of this, y'all. Incest, rape, we're about to see murder, we're about to see all of that stuff. You see, when you break God's laws, you're going to have some consequences. God just don't put laws up, amen, to be a killjoy. God put laws up to protect us, y'all. I remember I was teaching at the school, PCA, and I told the kids, I said, listen, y'all, all come on, and let's just run around the sanctuary of Pine Street. No rules, no laws. Let's just run crazy. And people was bumping into each other and everything like that. I said, okay, now let's put some laws, traffic laws in place, where people had to stop and go and yield and stuff like that. I said, okay. Which one is safer? Which one do y'all, well, we like it better with the traffic law. Red light, green light, it's good. And I told them, I said, that's just how God's law play on our planet. Imagine a road with no laws. I-10, Johnson Street, Khalisum. It would be chaos. Johnson is chaos with laws. It's Pinhook. Help me, Jesus. What I'm saying is this. Now just imagine no lights, no stop signs, no yield signs. Listen, that's us living without the laws of God. Accidents, total losses, broken families. You see what I'm saying? People messed up. The laws are not to hurt us. The laws are to protect us. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! So David, man, his family is dysfunctional. We're going to see it. David don't spend time with his kids like he ought. He all over the place, man. My goodness. Amen. Listen, the Bible continues in verse 1. Y'all still awake? The Bible says, and Amnon. Now, we know who Amnon is. The daughter, hallelujah, of, I forgot his mama name, y'all. What's her name? Ahinoam. The daughter of the son of Ahinoam. Amnon, the son of David. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says he loved her. Let's just stop right there. He loved her. All right. The Hebrew word for love here is ahab, which can mean love, but it also means physical attraction. It's like he saw and he said, boy, she looked good. Ooh, she fine. This word ahab can also mean affection. It also means desire. Like he saw and he said, ooh, I want to be with her. It also means a craving of a human appetite. You see? I think that love was the wrong translation here. Because what Amnon had for Tamar was not love. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that. The way he treats her and does her, that's not love. We kind of confuse about what love is. You see, love is just not about the person. Love is about the other person. Love is not selfish. Love don't want to hurt nobody. You see, if Amnon had loved her, all these other things was not going to happen. Especially the fallout after what he do and the life she going to be condemned to live after that. That's not love, friends. That's not love. And to my young ladies in here, that ball going to come in there, talk about he love you, but what he want to do is like Amnon and condemn you to a life of lack of single parenthood. Let me tell you something. That's not love. No. That's not love. I'm going to tell you what it is. It ain't love, though. Anybody know what that is? And Amnon did what? He didn't love her. He lusted after her. That's what he did. That was lust. That wasn't love. That was attraction. That was a human appetite. That was a craving. That was a desire. It was lust. And we're going to talk about lust tonight. Y'all all right talking about that? All right. The men's seat getting hot. They moving a little bit. It's all right. Both men and women lust. Men lust a lot more than women. But there are some women who do love muscles. Pastor, why was this lust? Well, the Bible tells us that to want to be with your sister, whether she your whole sister or your half sister, is wickedness. It's wickedness, y'all. Now, we living in an age where this need to be taught. Because we got a lot of funny things going on right now. So in Leviticus 18:9 in the NLT, it says, do not have sexual relations with your sister or your half-sister. Now, some of them are going to be smart, but so God want to fill in all the blanks. Whether she is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was born in your household or somebody else's household, don't you dare touch her. Brothers and sisters, don't get down like that. That's an abomination to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, we got something on the inside of us that corroborates with that. Something on the inside of us, hallelujah, keeps us from that. You can look at any other kind of woman, but your sister, you're like, God, well, God. If you're right. I'm going crazy, but I'm talking. All right. Deuteronomy 27:22 actually says that when you participate in behaviors such as abominable as these, that you'll get a curse put on you. Cursed be he that lied with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. It's the truth. In fact, God says in Leviticus 20:17, back in the old Levitical law, amen, if they caught you doing something like that, they'd bring you before all the people, and they would cut you off, they'd kill you. That's how he felt about that. It was wickedness. Pastor, how can you tell that it was lust? Amen. You see, because this activity was forbidden. And when we crave something that is forbidden, that's lust. That's lust. That's the definition of lust. To want something, to crave something, to desire something that God forbids. That's lust. That's lust. Y'all still with me out there? Y'all awake? We're doing some heavy lifting, but it's going somewhere. Lust is a desire for what is forbidden. It is a selfish desire. You see what I'm saying? Lust is also unquenchable. Meaning that when you think that you want this and it's going to satisfy you, it's not going to satisfy you. And that's why it's meaningless for men to participate in lustful activity, because it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. The vicious cycle never ends. Oh, y'all got to be with me up in here. Now, people lust for all kind of things, yeah. All right? It's not just intimacy and it's not just that. People lust for money. That's the same feeling, yeah. It's called greed. You got one person, he want woman, or he want men, but another person, I want my change. You with me so far? Yeah. And that love of money is lust. Not only is greed a lust, but hallelujah, fame. When you want fame, you want to be in the front, that's a lust too. A desire and a craving for power, you want to be on top, tell everybody what to do, that's a lust as well. When you want position and status, amen, that's a lust as well. Gluttony, you know what I'm saying? Like my wife tell me how many cookies I eat after dinner. You know what I'm saying? That can easily be, hallelujah, gluttony. Gluttony is a lust, man. It's a fleshly craving. It's an appetite. You know what I'm saying? Oh, y'all, look how they went quiet. They don't went quiet. I put food up there. Nobody won't talk to Pastor no more. People looking down and stuff. Hey, man. We want to be right or what? We're going to talk about all this because all of us fall in one of these categories. All right. Food, but also drink. And when I put drink, I mean alcoholic beverages and stuff like that. That's a lust. A desire for drugs. That's a lust. Revenge. That's a lust. You want to get somebody back? Her mark. You're going to get them, her mark. That's a lust, that revenge. Murder is a lust. It's a lust. You know? Yeah, you were showing me something? Okay. Suicide. When you talk to people who done considered it, it's an addictive power that's pulling. It's a lust. It's a lust. Suicide is a lust. And of course, all sexual immorality is a lust. We're going to get deep, y'all. We're going to get deep. Lust is the lie that tells us that God is outlawing certain things to keep something good from us. That's what lust tells us. God has just outlawed it to keep it from us, and it's good. Lust tells us that the grass is greener on the other side. It tells us right across the boundary, the fence, the border, hallelujah, is the promised land. When in actuality, amen, the border was put there because what's across the border will destroy everything that we have. All right? Anybody hear me up in here? Listen to me. I was just looking at it, and I saw lust in the Garden of Eden. I saw it in the Garden of Eden. I saw God saying you can have any of the trees. You could eat whatever you want. But he put a little boundary around one little tree and he said, listen, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat it. But Eve kept walking by that thing. And Adam was right there behind her. You know what I'm saying? It's not just Eve. And they kept walking by, kept looking at it. Oh, it looked good to eat. Amen. Hallelujah. The first sin, you think, hallelujah, was something else, but the first sin was lust. It was a desire for what was forbidden. You see? Keep going, Pastor. Yeah, I said it. I said that lust is a sin. That's what I said. Lust is a sin. Now you won't find this teaching a lot in church. Because I done had some people come, amen, and join Philly and tell me, Pastor, my pastor told me it was all right to look as long as I didn't touch. And so they take that, they go on websites, they look at pornography, they look at women that pass by at work, and everybody rating her, she a 5, she a 6, she a 10. You know, all that going on? You know? Listen, Philly, let it not be named among us. Lust is a sin. Lust is a sin. Whether it's sexual or whether it's any of the other ones that I talked about, when you desire what is forbidden, that's a sin. And I'm going to prove it to you. You see what I'm saying? Most people don't realize it, but listen, lust is in the Ten Commandments. It's in the Ten Commandments. Look, everybody running through their Rolodex of the Ten Commandments. 1, 2, 3, automatic. No, I'm going to give it to you. It's the very last one. Exodus 20:17. Look what it says. Thou shalt not covet. Go and do a study in the Hebrew of that word covet. And when you look at that word covet in the Hebrew, you're going to see a whole bunch of different definitions. And one word you're going to see in there thou shalt not lust. And then when you take it into the context, look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not lust after thy neighbor's home is not yours. You don't desire it, it's not yours. You can't have it. But look what it says next. Thou shalt not lust after thy neighbor's wife. Don't look at your neighbor wife. Don't look at your neighbor wife. Who's my neighbor, Pastor? Look around, your whole church. Everybody you meet. You'll be looking at nobody wife. That's sin. That's sin. Jesus brings that real and he says, listen, you've heard it. It said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, but listen. He said, when you lust after, hallelujah, a woman, hallelujah, you've already committed adultery. It's going to be one of these sermons tonight, y'all. Come on now. Like my sister said, I'm trying to help y'all now. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm going to give you the kicker here. Misha, you're going to like this. Romans 7:7. Look at Romans 7:7. I'm going to show you it's a sin, and I'm going to show you that it's the same thing as covenant, because look what Paul says. Paul says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Wow. You see that, Misha? That's what them commandments was all about. And Paul knew it. It was about lust. It's about going after that which was not yours and that which was forbidden. And it's sin. And it's sin. You know? So many men looking at women all day on the computer. So many men looking at that TV and all them commercials. They're selling washing machines and she got a brassiere on. What that got to do with anything? I use the old word, huh? My bad. They pass by the magazine section. They're looking at pornography. And they have been taught, even by pastors, that it's okay to look. When our God says he is of purer eyes than to even behold iniquity. When David says, I shall not set any vain thing before my eyes. The church's level of holiness and commitment to God has gone down. We've been lulled to sleep by the world. You got to understand that the devil can't defeat the church. For the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. All right? But he can weaken it. And one of the words that they use in the Greek in Revelation with that, he would make war with the saints. And that word is like he's going to try to erode the saints. He can't ever beat us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like water can't break a rock. But if it just bang against the rock every day as the shore comes in and the waves come in, surely it can make a dent in the rock. That's what the world has done with the church. Our standards have gone down as far as what holiness is. Especially in this area of lust. Keep going, Pastor. Lust leads to death and destruction. It does. We know it because the wages of all sin is death. We see it, amen, even in the context of the scripture that we're dealing with. Because, listen, Amnon dies at the end of this story. But his descent into destruction and death began with a lust. David killed Uriah. The wages of sin is death. But Uriah's death began, amen, while David was looking at Bathsheba on that roof. Samson died in the Philistine territory. But his death began, amen, when he was lusting and being with street women and harlots. The end of lust for every man, for every woman, is to have you in a coffin. To destroy you, everything you own, and all the people that you love. That's the end of lust. You see what I'm saying? Oh, the Spirit said, keep going, Pastor. Keep going, Pastor. Keep going, Pastor. I found a scripture in Job 31:11, and I want to put it in an NLT so we can get a real understanding of this. The Bible says, just going back to it, it is a sin. The Bible says, for lust is a shameful sin. A shameful sin. That's why if you're with your children and your children with you and you're looking at the woman and you look at your child and your child looking at you, you feel ashamed. That's why if they pull up and they see that actual, your history on the internet and they find you out, that's why it's shame. Lust is a shameful sin. It's a crime that should be punished, Job says. But not only that, look at verse 12. I love this. Look what it says. It is a fire that burns all the way to hell. That's where I'd want to lead you at. That's where I'd want to bring you. Now, I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but I want you to just think about it. It's a fire that burns. A fire never stays contained all by itself. Meaning that if you set a fire in the building, it won't stop until it consumes the whole building. How big a matter does a little fire kindle it? You see what I'm saying? A little spark in the woods will set a whole forest on fire. Listen, man of God, woman of God, lust left up to itself. Just a little spark in your spirit, a little spark in your soul, or set your world on fire. Set your world on fire. Unbridled, uncontrolled, unchecked, or set your world on fire. In hopes that it'll kill you and it'll lead you all the way to hell. Not only that, look what Job says. It would wipe out everything I own. That thing there, that lust. Let me tell you something, man. Have you spending all your money on every kind of thing? You think them boys buying all them rims and them clothes and all that stuff to look good? You think they just want to look good? Them brothers don't care about fabric and cloth and colors. Them brothers doing all of that to get a woman attention. All right. Y'all don't hear me? All right, I'm telling you. Now, I think about our people for a second. The Hebrews. The Negroes, the blacks. I'm going to tell you something about our people, y'all. Our people got a problem in this area. Of lust, our people got a problem. We like Esau that sold his birthright over a bowl of pottage. Something that's going to give us a momentary full, temporary full. We willing to risk it all. That's what Esau did. That's how we living. Our people perishing out there, man. We done lost everything because of lust. Oh, y'all got to hear me up in here. You see? That's our story in the black community. Them little dudes running all around town 24/7 trying to find somebody to lay with. They wake up in the morning, that's all they want to do. And listen to me, they don't want to be no husband, no. And even after they make a baby, they don't want to be no father. And that's why we got single parenthood running rampant through the black community. Did you know that 72% of all black babies that's born in the world, 72%, are born out of wedlock, not married people. And I was wondering when we would have our children, I'd go in the hospital with my wife. They treat me like I'm her brother or something, like I'm her friend. They asking her all the questions. I'm like, excuse me, I'm paying for this. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? Hey, you know, do I have a right to say something? They looking at her, who last name? What you mean, who last name? Wait up. I have to show y'all who last name. But we came to a conclusion sitting in the room. I said, they're not used to seeing this. Huh, Marla? They're not used to seeing a black man with his wife and with his children. And listen. I don't think it's their fault.
Come on.
I think it's our fault. I think it's our fault. It's that lust running all over town instead of being where you're supposed to be at. Ooh, come on, give God some glory for truth. Man, did y'all know that out of all the races, that HIV is highest in the black community? We make up 12% of the population, and we got 44% of the HIV cases. We got a problem, man. We got a problem. Now, listen. I'm gonna get to it a little bit later, but let me just give you a snippet of it. We are different kind of people than a lot of other people. All peoples are different. They're given different physiologies and different giftings from God. When one people try to live like another people, it don't really work out that way. You with me so far? Meaning this, if we try to raise our kids like another people raise their kids, Johnny, get in time, man. Don't do. You can't raise black kids like that. You see what I'm saying? You say, boy, you better get where you're supposed to get before I bust you in the head. Then, we are hands-on people. All right? We speak with the most body language, and we listen. You know, we are actually a physical people. We physical. We show love, you know what I'm saying? That's why we hug and we grip up. We are a physical people. All right? And with that physicality come giftings. Being fast and strong and being able to jump, you know what I'm saying? And when you compare us to a lot of the different races, man for man, pound for pound, our physicality comes out. You see? They even got some arguments about the level of testosterone that's produced in the black male. You know? So, but with all of that, now the other races got giftings too. Innovation, administration, and different things and whatnot. You see what I'm saying? That keep a society sharp and clean and going and stuff like that. But what I'm talking about with us, amen, our physicality is not only a blessing, but it's also a curse. That high testosterone that makes us fast and the muscle twitches, that allows us to hit harder and jump higher, that extra testosterone makes us a bit more active in other areas. Oh, God, y'all, don't make me. Can y'all help me out here? Can y'all help me? Help me out here? It's not all of us, because we mix with a lot of other stuff, too. But by God, it's most of us. Listen, oh, good. Listen. The black man can't live like everybody else. Our women can't dress like everybody else. You see, another group of men will look at that and not even notice that a black man, oh, he take that to the house at night. He's thinking about it at home. Another race could sit down and just watch that on TV and it don't do nothing to him. I'm trying to break it down, Cole. And it's not all of us no cool. Because they got a small percentage of us. Very small. But listen. God bless the truth. So sitting on watching that BET all day like that, that might work for other people. That's not going to work for you, black man. That's not going to work for you. Being all close, buzzy bottoms in the bosom buddies in the cubicle right next door to you, that's going to work for other. I'm trying to give them the game, Mark. They. All right. Keep going, Pastor. Keep going. We can't be in here all night. No, I'm going to have to stop in a second. Lust is not of God. It's of the world. And on your free time, check out 1 John 2:15-16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. Unbridled lust is also a sign of a false prophet. We got a lot of preachers and pastors out there that's running wild in this area. I'm talking about running wild, you know. You know, all of us gonna battle lust at a level. But when it's unbridled and you're trying to mess with men in your church, their wives, and you're trying to mess with little boys and stuff like that, that's not the sign of a true pastor. Peter talks about it in 2 Peter 2:14 that it was a sign of the false prophets that would be snucking, that would sneak in the church. They would have eyes full of adultery. That's what all would be in their eyes. That's all they look for. Looking for unstable souls to beguile. True pastors, amen, and ministers are given a grace from God to be able to love the people of God in a pure way. You with me so far? Like, look, you're my sister, you're my brother, you're my daughter in the spirit. Amen. Let me give you another one. Lust is animalistic. When we participate in lust, we acting like an animal. All right? The Bible says in Jeremiah 5, they were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone lusted after his neighbor's wife. Everyone neighed. Everyone lusted after his neighbor's wife. Like horses. Like animals. You see? Let's keep going. Let's keep going just for a second. Y'all just want to keep going just for a second? The Bible says in 2 Samuel 13:2, look at it. Look at it right here. And we're going to do just a piece of this verse, probably like half of it, and then we're going to stop. And Ammon was so vexed. It means that he was sick, y'all. Amnon handled his lust wrongly. He didn't handle it. He didn't deal with it. He let it run wild until that spark, that flame consumed him. Because lust, listen, it's going to start up in all of us, but it's what you do with it after it starts that counts. You with me so far? He just let it run wild, all right? Now, we can't expect anything different because his father didn't handle his lust good. Anytime David wanted something and God forbade it, David still got it. When God said, don't marry a woman outside of your faith, David still married Maka. When God said, don't marry and multiply wives, David still participated in polygamy. When God said, don't commit adultery, David still, amen, crossed that threshold and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. David was great in every area of his life, every other area. He'd outshine any of us in every other area. But this one area, friends, this one area, David had a problem in controlling his lust and what God had forbade. And because of that, listen good. When you don't control the lust that's in you, your children, they won't control the lust that's in them. I've heard it said that what's a mist in one generation will be a fog in the next generation. What that means is that sin don't just stay the same from generation to generation. Sin seeks to get worse. So while David had a problem with polygamy, his seed gonna do that. While David had a problem with adultery, his seed, they gonna do that. Or even worse, and we're gonna see it, it's gonna be worse than adultery, it's gonna be incest, it's gonna be rape, it's gonna be... What I'm saying is your children gonna outdo you in sin. So some of y'all can't get your sin under control, hallelujah, for your own good. I'm asking you tonight, if you can't do it for your own good, do it for your children. Amen? Do it for your children. Do it for your children. Because the devil going to try to get them to take it to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Ammon's lust was left unchecked. Listen, I'm going to give y'all some ways on how to deal with lust, and then we're going to get out of here. I can't stop right here. Because I would just be talking about lust and we'd all go home and just, okay, we know lust. But let's talk about how to deal with it, how to overcome it, how to check it. And listen, you may have a shortcoming in one of these areas, but the grace of God can be compensating so much in your life that nobody would even ever be able to expect it. You don't ever act it out. You're not vexed like Ammon, sick. There's no physical manifestations of what you're dealing with on the inside. God says, listen, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. In fact, I believe, amen, that some of y'all in here, you can have a weakness in a particular area, and God's grace be so abounding in that area, you do better in your area of weakness than people who don't have that. Oh, come on, somebody. Because you don't deal and operate in your strength, you begin to deal and operate in His strength. Oh, God have mercy. My goodness. Okay, Pastor, how do we deal with lust? How do we deal with lust? Number one, salvation. Salvation. You got to get saved. You got to make sure that you're saved. You see, it's only the power of God that can break the chains of lust. That's all that can happen. That's all that can happen. And when you're not saved, you'll never be able to control this thing. You'll never be able to control this thing. You're going to go from woman to woman, situation to situation, baby mama to baby mama. You'll never be able to control it until you get low down and dirty with God and say, God, this is me. I need you. I need you. I need you. Save my soul, God, before this thing kill me and wipe out everything that I own. Salvation. Salvation. And the person with a battle with lust will realize quickly that the thing you think you want is not really what you want. Because it'll never satisfy. What you really want is God. He said, if you drink of these waters, you'll never thirst again. That's what he said. Okay, number two, go back to the cross. Because we have some Christians, you're saved, but the daily battle of lust, it keep going, yeah. You get that power of salvation, amen, and you're walking high, but you're going to go through seasons when that old lust going to try to pull you back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's during those seasons that you got to go back to the cross. You got to walk back to Calvary to remind yourself what the Lord won for you at that cross. You got to remind yourself, the devil and lust and everybody else, that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Devil, I might not even feel free. I might not be able to get my hands off this mouse, but the situation does not reflect the truth of the matter because he died for me. Woo! And I'm free. You go back to that cross. He that is dead is free from sin. And we have died with Christ. And sin shall not have dominion over you. Number three, hallelujah. And any of these will work by themselves. Any of these will work. And that's why I'm going to give you a few of them. So you can decide, you can choose which one you want to use. Number three, sanctifying truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is thy truth. Anytime that lust begins to pull upon you, open up that Bible and start reading that Bible. Ooh! The Bible is like Roundup to lust. Kill it dead, baby. Kill it dead. Kill it dead. And if you're having a little trouble, you see me, Pastor. You got that Roundup? I'm going to slide that New Testament to you. Pow! And listen, when you don't have your Bible, you know what you do? You memorize that word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You hide that word. And listen, listen, listen. Let me tell you something. The devil shoots thoughts. So when you get a bad thought, that's not the sin, though. It's when you get that bad thought and you roll it around in your mind. You see, seeing the rock up there is not a bad thing. But it's what your mind do after you see the rock. You understand what I'm saying? You see his jacket. All right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head. But you can stop a bird from making the nest. All right? So the devil going to shoot the thought, but don't let the thought just make a nest. You put the word on that thing. When the devil shoot a bad thought in my mind, listen, I'm going to be personal with you. I'm going to give you the scripture that I use and everything because I got a little arsenal with me. All right? I got a little arsenal. I got a little arsenal of scriptures that I memorize, and he'll shoot a little thought in my head. Boom! And I just quote this scripture. I say, devil, you're lying. Be ye holy, for God is holy. That's what I tell him. Because you ain't going to get me to do nothing, say nothing, looking at, listen, be ye holy for God. Look, he back up. Ooh, I don't want a part of that. You put that word on him. You know what I'm saying? So you use that sanctifying truth. Come on, come on. Number four, you pray. You pray. When you feel that thing heating up, because it's going to heat up. You know what I'm saying? you got to go ahead right then and there and pray. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're at work, that girl come to your window or something like, yes, sir, can you help me? You say, baby, hold on, I'm going to pray about some things. Hold on. The Bible says, pray lest you enter into temptation. That's what the Bible says. And listen, prayer work. You come out, somebody else doesn't help, or they out there and everything. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm trying to help you. Number five, walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, some days you leave the house and you're so full of the Holy Ghost, you don't even see that stuff that's around them. They could be dressed like they want. I'm not worried about that. I'm trying to witness to somebody. I'm trying to pass out an invitation. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to lay hands on somebody. I'm trying to walk in love and joy and peace. I'm so full of the Holy Ghost. Woo! I can't even see that stuff. Me and my wife talk about it. The words we use is walking in the hills. Walk in the hills, baby. Because all that other stuff is down in the gutter. Is in the valley. You want to leave your house having been prayed up and read up. Amen. And you want to walk in the hills. And when you walk in the Spirit, you'll be surprised. The Spirit won't even take you to those places that you'll never even end up in those places. It's like God, the Spirit will lead you away from it. See, I'm just drive you away from there. Look. You ain't passing by UL. You ain't passing down Simcoe at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. The Spirit not going to take you there. You see? Y'all ready for another one? Learn how to take thoughts captive. Ooh. Now my elder saints know what I'm talking about. That's why they clap. The new saints say, taking thoughts captive. What is that? That's out of 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. When he talk about, though we live in the carnal, we don't war in the carnal. He said, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty, spiritual, mighty. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see what I'm saying? He talk about taking revenge. He talk about, wait, let's just read it. Why y'all messing with me? Look what he says here. Casting down imaginations. You see, that's what the devil going to shoot in your mind. Imagination. It's not even real stuff. You done went off all on a tangent, thinking about a girl riding the car with her, crossing the chapel library. That's not even real. You got to cast down that imagination. All right? You pulling yourself all in the flesh, ain't going to be able to pray, messing up your day, and you doing it all over imagination. You got to cast down that imagination. That's not real. Devil, that's a lie. I don't live in an imaginary world. I live in the real world. All right? So you cast down imagination. But look what he says. He says, in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, something trying to act like it's better than what God done told you he had for you. No, devil, that's not better than what you would. Taking that thought, that's a high thing. Cast it down. And then when he says, listen, I love this. He says, and bringing it into captivity. Into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I love this. You grab that thought and you tell that thought you a liar. And you bring that thought into captivity. You see what I'm saying? You pull that thing down and you put that scripture on there and you say we're going to put that into the obedience of Christ. And so it's just like I said, it's a bad thought come in your mind. You grab it. You say, that's not right. Be ye holy for I'm holy. That's what God's saying. You see what I'm saying? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know? Don't let thoughts just remain in your mind. That's what Amnon did. He just thought about it over and over again, and it consumed him, and it killed him. You got to fight back. Somebody say, fight back. All right, all right, all right. Look, just a couple more, then we're going to get out of here. All right? Okay? Look, how to deal with lust. Number seven, guard your heart. Guard your heart. The proverb says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Pastor, how do I guard my heart? Well, you got to know the gateways to your heart. The gateways, the entryways where things get to your heart at. The entryways of your heart are the eyes and the ears. Amen? Because what come in there with your eye, what you're looking at, it get down into your heart. What you're listening to, get down into your heart. You see? So when the Bible says guard your heart, it means put a watch over the things that you look at and over the things that you hear. Pastor, what you mean by that? Listen, you will never be victorious over lust as long as you're watching regular TV. All the time. As long as you're watching cable TV all the time, not monitoring what you're watching, not flipping it on the God channel when the commercials come on. If you're just sitting there, vegging out, and everything that the devil want to put in your sight, you're just eating it up. You're just eating it up. You have no type of filter. You have no diet plan for your soul. You just watch anything that he put up. You watch anything on the internet. You watch anything, amen, on HBO, Showtime, cable. You go see any movie, regardless if it's rated R, rated, whatever. You just go see anything. You're not going to win in this battle with lust. You're not going to win. Because your heart is full of just grotesque sexual immorality. Let me tell you something. We did a study, amen. My wife was looking at a study about TV. In primetime TV, you know, 7, 8 o'clock hour, every week, if a person watches TV every day, by the end of the week, they have 143 images of sexual immorality. You break that down into 7 days a week, that's 20 incidences of sexual immorality every day that you get in your spirit. 20 images. And most of it is not between a husband and a wife. It's all illicit. It's all adultery. It's all boyfriend, girlfriend type stuff, high school type stuff that we wouldn't even allow in our house, but we're watching it on the tube. And we wonder why when we get in public, we can't act right. Because out of the heart flows the issues of life. What are you filling your heart with? That TV is murdering us. Is murdering us. Pastor, you're going apostolic. No, I'm not. I'm just asking you to monitor what you watch. I got some. You also have to guard, hallelujah, your children and their hearts. All right? Because as they watch that tube, bad stuff is coming on the tube as well. But one area I want to talk about before we just kind of conclude is those cell phones. For them kids, them cell phones, they can connect with almost anything on them cell phones. And studies show that while parents not watching, a lot of underage kids are on those cell phones looking at pornography. And a lot of people in here, you look at yourself and you say, no, not my kid. You know, I was in court one time when a parent did that. And we brought that child up and we said, listen, if you're selling these drugs, if you got drugs in your system, listen, tell us now because we're going to do this, we're going to do that. The mama started laughing out loud in court, disrupt court. Listen, not my child never. The child said, mama, sit down, mama, be quiet. And the child said, what you going to do if I tell you the truth? The child began to reveal clandestine operations and drug things. And the mom was looking like, you better check that phone, man. You better check that phone, man. Your child might be in a spider web of lust and you paying for it every month. You need to go on Google and type up the 12 apps that every parent of a teen should know. Because they got apps that hide apps. They got apps that set up a false frontal screen. So you look at, oh, all they got is a calculator. But what's behind the calculator? Your children, amen, some of them, most of them at youth, so I can tell you some of the apps so we can just talk, just us. You know, Audio Manager, it hides apps and pictures so that the parents can't really see the real dirty apps that a child has. Vaulty is another app that hides things, and you got to have a password to break it and show the real, hallelujah, images and texts that your children really doing. You know what I'm saying? They got a bunch of them. I can't understand my handwriting. But listen, 12 apps every parent of a teen should know. Google that. A lot of them children looking at some dirty things, and you're wondering why they're acting out the way they're acting. Because their heart is full of trash. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right. So the Spirit telling me to do these last few fast. You can go ahead and put them up right here. Because man, All right. How to defeat lust? Accountability. Get yourself accountability partner. A 12 leader, if you're a member of this church, or a ministry head, somebody you can talk to, be real with, tell them you got a problem in a particular area. Not just that, accountability partner, but if you're single and you got a lust problem, the Bible says, go ahead and get married. Yeah. Ain't no reason for you and the young lady to be burning up with each other. The Bible says, why burn? It's better to marry than to burn. Just go ahead and get married. Pastor, we too young. We 44. No. Listen, man. That's the world, man. Man, get married, man. One of the best solutions to lust that I found is this. Flee. Run. Run for your life. Run for your life. Especially the man of God, run from your life. Stay away from the magazine aisles. If you wear glasses, take your glasses off. Take your contacts off. Don't go to the beach. Don't go to Blue Bayou. Amen. For God's sake, don't go to Walmart when it's too hot. Just run. Just stay. Just, you know, your wife asks you, I'm getting on. No, I ain't getting on. Go ahead and do that. Every time they pass, they're going to see you in the car. Some of y'all probably see me. It's like, Pastor, you got another job working security in parking lots? No. I run. It's some things I don't want to see. I value my connection with God. And I don't want anything to mess that up. Listen, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm struggling and I need a little help. And you would say, Pastor, I don't even know if I'm really saved. And I'm telling you tonight, we're going to pray salvation with you. But also, if you're a Christian and you found yourself in a dark place, you see, Brother Brian, get back there and cue something up for me. Just have it. You know what I've been talking about, and I'm sure the Spirit been ministering to you. I'm going to need some music here in a second. If you're a Christian and you're in some dark times, you're lusting. It could be men. It could be women. It could be possessions. All the things I talked about, you know. I understand it's late, and for those that need to go, listen, you're welcome to leave. But the Spirit just have me in a place right now. I want to pray some warfare prayer, you know? In fact, just forget about what I just said. All the men in this place, come on up to the front. Come on up to the front. All the men, come on up to the front. Come on up to the front. All the men. This has been killing us as a community, and we're going to make a stand tonight. We're going to make a stand tonight. We're going to make a stand tonight. Woo! I don't stand here as somebody that's better than anybody. I'm a man too, my brother. I'm a man too. But I'm here to tell you that through the grace of God, you can live a life that's honoring to God. It don't mean you ain't going to have your ups and downs, but God going to keep you, man. He going to keep you, you know? Hallelujah. Our ladies in here, come stand behind our men. Come stand behind our men. This is a spiritual demonstration of what we need in the Spirit. Men, come closer to the altar. Come closer to the altar. I understand if you gotta go, just go. But listen, listen. If you knew how big this was for your man of God, you wouldn't be ready to leave right now. You wouldn't be ready to leave right now. I want to pray some warfare prayer tonight. I want to go to war, prophet. Woman of God, I want y'all to pray with me. Whether you got to extend your hands or touch the back of these men, whatever you got to do. But we need a change. We need a breakthrough. First, we're going to pray for salvation. Then we're going to pray for deliverance. Everybody in the sound of my voice, say, God, thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned. But I believe that you hadn't given up on me yet. I believe that you died for me on Calvary. I believe that you were buried in the grave. I believe that you rose on the third day with all power and all might. And now, Lord, I come to you. Save me, a sinner. Deliver me from every bondage. Set me free from every chain. Take back every ground the devil has stolen from me. Forgive me, Lord, for every thought, for every look, for every action. I take dominion over lust. I take dominion over sexual immorality. Devil, your power over me is broken. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. I break every curse, every bondage that was done before me. I tear down the sins of my father, of my grandfather, of my great grandfather. Lord, break it in me. The buck stops here. It will not come upon my children. It will not be upon my people. You can't have us. You can't have us. You can't have us anymore. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him glory in this house. Woo! No more. No more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grab hands with the person on the side of y'all. Touch them and agree with them in any kind of way. Any kind of way. Any kind of way. Hallelujah. 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 There's this warfare prayer. Woo! Whew. Hallelujah. 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 Warfare prayer. Hallelujah. You say, Heavenly Father, I ask your forgiveness for offending you by committing the sin of lust. I claim the cleansing that is mine through the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan, you and all your kingdom, I break the power of darkness in my life. I claim the territory that you stole from me. And I cover it with the blood of Jesus. I give every area of my life to the full control of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! this ain't not the same. Don't go back to the slop, to the vomit that you've been delivered from. Operate in the keys that we showed you. Pray and read. Get in that word. Warfare, pray. And God's going to keep his deliverance. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his.
Hey, no, Rev, I put the money in the box over there today.
Thank you, brother. Bless you now. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And bless you with peace, prosperity, with shalom. We pray for you, your children, and your children's children. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Love y'all. Be blessed. Hallelujah.
My strength this hour, Jesus.